It's not a lovely song. Glory to his name. You know, we often talk about the power of the blood. I'll just switch the machine on. We often talk about the power of the blood and the blood of Jesus. And I can remember when I first started ministering and preaching, I was in a chapel one day and I preached on the power of the blood. And a man came up to me afterwards with a very stern look on his face. He said to me, "Please, don't preach on that subject again." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, my wife finds it offensive because she's very squeamish over blood. So please don't speak on that subject again." And I have to be honest and say that it did put me off at the time. But I mean, the blood of Jesus Christ is fundamental to what we believe, isn't it? It's all fundamental to our faith. We often talk about the power of the blood, but sometimes I wonder whether we fully understand just how much power there is in the blood of Christ. Have you seen that advert on the television? I think it's an advert for Tesco's club card. And it shows a woman in the supermarket swiping the goods through, and there's a man standing there, and he stands up and he shouts out, "I got the power!" Do you remember that ad? Have you seen it? "I got the power!" Yeah, it was a high-pitched voice. And every time I hear that, see that advert, I think to myself, well, what power has he got? He is, after all he's getting is a discount off his shopping, isn't it? So, you know, "I got the power," you know, his club card. You know, there was a night when Jesus gathered his disciples together in that upper room for that final supper that he was to have with them. And as they gathered around him, he held up a cup, didn't he? And he said that this cup, he said, is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant. Something new that was happening. He was saying that my blood is sufficient. The blood of the Lamb is sufficient. When you stop and you think about it, you see, if you know your Bible, you'll know that right through the Old Testament, which spans about 4,000 years, there had been sacrifices that had to be made for the people. And they had sacrifices of all sorts of animals, and they had sacrifices of bulls and goats and sheep and goodness knows what. But they had to keep sacrificing. They had to keep sacrificing because it wasn't sufficient to just have one sacrifice. But Jesus says, "My blood is sufficient. My blood is enough. My blood fulfills all the requirements of the law." You see, people were under law. You know, isn't it great that since Christ came, Jesus Christ came and died on that cross for us, we're no longer under the law. We are now under grace. The law doesn't have control over us like it had control in those days. And this is what Jesus was talking about when he said he'd come to fulfill the law and not to do away with the law. You know, a lot of people say, "Oh, well, you know, the law, you've got to get rid of the law." Well, you can't get rid of the law. It's a fact. But he was trying to get through to them that I've come. In fact, Matthew 5:1, he said, "Don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come to not to abolish them, but to fulfill them, to fulfill the law." In one selfless act, he would do what no other sacrifice had been able to do, and would begin a new covenant with the God of creation. A new covenant, a new blood covenant. "A covenant in my blood," said Jesus. That if anyone would believe in the power of the blood of Jesus, then they would receive so much. I mean, a lot of people say, "Oh, well, you get redemption through the blood of Jesus." And you do. But that's just the start of it. There's so much more. You get get atonement through the blood of Jesus. You get healing through the blood of Jesus. Protection, deliverance, strength. Strength through the blood of Jesus. What does the hymn? There's a very old hymn, and I love it. We don't sing it anymore. It's not in the books anymore. But the chorus says, there is wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Wonder-working power. And there is wonder-working power, isn't there, in the blood of the Lamb. Because, you see, Jesus' blood has the power to redeem, first of all. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He was cursed for us. See, the law was hard. Nobody could obey the Lord. Nobody was pure enough, if you like, good enough, or even holy enough to obey the entire law. It was impossible. The law held men in bondage. And it showed all the imperfections of humanity. But the blood of Jesus freed us from the curse of sin and death. What is it that we sing in the hymn? There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. Only Jesus. Only Jesus, friends. You see, with the law and with the sacrifices that they were constantly having to make, there was no, completion. There was no completion. There was no finality to it. They had to keep on sacrificing all the time. They had to sacrifice. Today it might be a lamb. Tomorrow, well, it might be a dove. Next week it might be a goat. Or it might be a bull the week after. It went on forever, at one thing after another. The law never stopped because it was constantly trying to cover the sins of the nation. And it couldn't do it. It had to keep sacrificing. You know, the priest would enter the Holy of Holies and once a year, and only once a year, on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, that is, in the Jewish calendar. Funnily enough, Yom Kippur was yesterday, the Day of Atonement. And the priest would enter the Holy of Holies once a year. And he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat of the ark as a covenant for the sins of the nation. But he had to keep doing it. It wasn't a one-off thing. And Jesus said, I have come to abolish all that. I've come to abolish all that because I've come to bring a new covenant in my blood. In my blood. 1 Peter tells us that we're not redeemed at all by these corruptible things, but only by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or spot. But one cry from Jesus, and God was no longer separated from man by a veil. As he cried out on that fateful day, it is finished. We're told that man then could be redeemed by the new covenant of the blood of Jesus. The veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. Do you notice that it's from the top to the bottom, not the bottom to the top, so that no man could claim to have done it? It was from the top to the bottom. And Hebrews tells us that God says that this is the covenant I will make with them. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. That Jesus is the final offering for sin. I think it was Nicky Gumbel wrote in one of his books that God takes all our sins and iniquities and he puts them in a bag and he throws them into the deepest ocean and he puts up a sign saying, no fishing. And I've always liked that, you know, no fishing. Friends, there is wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. But is blood doesn't just have the power to redeem us. It also has the power to transform us as well. It's the blood of Jesus, when applied to our lives, makes the vilest of sinners into a new creation formed in the image of God's holiness. You remember Saul of Tarsus? He was going around issuing murderous threats. He went to the synagogue in Jerusalem and asked them for papers to to go to Damascus, where he could arrest and bring to justice any of those who belonged to what they called the Way, meaning Christians. And of course, on that Damascus road, we all know what happened, don't we? Saul became Paul. By the power of the blood, he was transformed from Saul, the persecutor, into Paul, the apostle. Remember the thief on the cross as well. He was another one, had an encounter with the blood of Christ and was transformed from that of being a condemned man into a saint dwelling in paradise. 2 Corinthians 5:17, do you know it? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. It's transformation, isn't it? By the blood of the Lamb. Transformation. You know, there is no soul that is so far gone that the power of the blood cannot redeem his sinful nature into the desire for the holiness of God. I've had people say to me over the years, well, if you only knew what I'd done in my life, and you know, you'd never forgive me, and God, I don't feel that God can forgive me for some of the things I've done in my life. Well, that puts limitations then on Jesus, doesn't it? It puts limitations on the blood. No, the blood of the Lamb can transform anyone's sinful nature into a desire for the holiness of God. His blood also has the power to give new life. New life. Now, of course, we can't survive without blood, can we? We've got lots of it running around inside us here. It's the source of life. And without it coursing through our veins and arteries, of course, we'll die, won't we? But without the blood of Christ applied to our spirit and our soul, then we're bound for the certainty of a second death. It's there in Revelation chapter 21, if you want to read it. Makes it very clear. Life more abundant can only be found in the power of Jesus' blood. An abundant life. John 10:10 says, I am come that you might have life and have it to the full. But his blood does even more than that. It goes on, doesn't it? It goes on. His blood has the power to heal and to protect as well. Whenever a virus attacks our physical bodies and begins to make us sick, our blood does something quite wonderful, doesn't it? It develops white blood cells, doesn't it? And these white blood cells attack any virus that's within us in our blood. You know, Psalm 139 says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Friends, we are, aren't we? When you think about it, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And when the enemy of your soul rises up against you, the blood of our Lord and our Saviour covers us like a shield. And the enemy that would destroy our soul is repelled. How? Because there is wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. You know, when your body suffers an injury or a cut or something like that, your blood does this remarkable thing, doesn't it? It creates a scab over the wound, doesn't it? To protect it. You know, many times in life we also suffer from different kinds of attack upon our spirit as well. Sometimes a word can be like a knife to your heart, can't it? A selfish act that almost destroys you emotionally. Acts by the enemy that try to destroy your faith. This is when the blood of Jesus wraps around our spirit and soul to bring healing to the hurts in our lives. The wound may be tender for a while. It may leave a scar. But the blood of Jesus is always at work in the hurts of our life, bringing protection and healing. There's a story that I read once about a French Jewish doctor. His name was Abraham Jacobi. in 1880, he watched his granddaughter die from what was known as black diphtheria, and he vowed to find a cure for this dreadful disease. It was known as the children's plague, diphtheria was, because it affected children more than it affected adults. And the reason it affected children was it caused their glands to swell up in their throats and then restrict their airways, and most children died by choking to death from the diphtheria. It was a terrible disease, and there was no cure for it. And in 1880, the idea of combating germs was just a theory. Scientists were skeptical. But Abraham Jacobi swabbed 20 horses with the germs that he had cultured. One by one, these horses collapsed and died. And it didn't look good. But one horse survived. And he fought off the germs, and it was soon standing and eating as if nothing had happened. And he extracted samples of blood from this horse, and he rushed to the municipal hospital, where there were 300 babies in a segregated ward, segregated with black diphtheria. And he inoculated all 300, and all bar three survived. They were saved by the blood of an overcomer, weren't they? And it's the same for us, isn't it? We are saved by the blood of an overcomer, Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb. Friends, it's the power of the blood of Jesus that breaks the yoke of bondage and sin. Whatever the enemy has wrapped around your life and seems to be choking the life out of you with, the blood of Christ can break and set you free. Not just to deliver, but to overcome. Colossians 1:13-14, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Revelation 12:11, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." It's there again, isn't it? His blood is still powerful today. His blood is still saving lost sinners and setting captives free. Friends, his blood is still sufficient. When Jesus said those words 2,000 years ago, "My blood is sufficient," it is still sufficient. This microphone that I'm wearing has the power to amplify my voice. But after this meeting, somebody's going to have to take the battery out of the little box that comes with it and replace it with a fresh battery and recharge the battery. Let me tell you that the blood of Jesus will never have to be replaced or recharged in our lives. I'll finish with this little story that I heard. It's a family that were involved in a terrible car accident. They had two small children, one age six, one age eight. And the younger of the two brothers, Michael, was badly injured. And he needed a blood transfusion. His big brother, Danny, who was eight, was the perfect blood type. And his father sat him down and explained to him that his brother was going to die. But if he would give his little brother some blood, then Mike would be all right. And Danny thought about it for a minute or two and he said, "Yep, I'll do that. I'll do this for my brother." And they took Danny into the hospital and they hooked him up with a catheter, and the blood flowed from his body into his little brother. everything went well. And the nurse removed the catheter from his arm. And Danny, with a tear in his eye, looked at his father and he said, "When do I die?" And his father suddenly realized with a shock that he had misunderstood. He thought he was giving all of his blood to save the life of his brother. He thought he would die after the transfusion was over. Yet he had still agreed to help his brother. You don't need me to spell that out for what it means scripturally, do you? What love, what sacrifice, what a gift of life. As I say, there's an old hymn that I love, and the hymn says, "Would you be free from your burden of sin? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There is wonderful power in the blood." And another verse says, "Would you be whiter? Yes, whiter than snow. There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin's stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There is wonderful power in the blood. There is wonder-working power, friends, in the precious blood of the Lamb." Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your powerful presence in our lives, and that we can be assured no matter what we're facing, your heart is towards us. Your eyes are upon us. Your ears are open to our prayers. And we thank you that you surround us with your love, that we are safe in your care. We thank you that there is power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And we praise you and we bless you, O Lord, and thank you that you reign supreme, that we are more than conquerors through your gift of Jesus Christ. And it is in his powerful name that we pray. Amen.